Whenever you're ready, Scott, you let us know. Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today for an informal on case number PU10613, Enbridge Pipelines Beaver Lodge Loop Project. And I'm joined today by Commissioner Kevin Kramer. I'll let him for comments, and then we'll maybe go around to see who's all at the table here.
Good afternoon, Kevin Kramer. Welcome, everyone. Of course, the purpose of an informal hearing is to deal with cases in front of us on an informal basis. While all the rules of evidence still apply, of course, there's not the formal oversight by an administrative law judge. Of course, people are presumed to be telling the truth, and no oath is administered. But nonetheless, all the other rules apply, and we look forward to a good, thorough hearing. Thank you.
Give me 1 second.
Okay. Scott just informed me they want to add one person on the phone bridge. We'll get them in from Enbridge.
Okay, good.
Welcome. You have reached the audio conferencing system. After the tone, enter your conference. After the tone, please state your name, followed by the pound key. Someone has entered the conference.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
Hello?
All right, thank you. This is Commissioner Culk. We're in the middle of the informal, so just thank you for listening in. With that, let's continue on the table. With who's here, Pat?
Patrick Fun, Commission Staff.
Mark Grumman, Commission Staff.
James Watts, Senior Legal Counsel for Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota.
Barry Simonson, Manager of Engineering Construction for Enbridge.
Brian Biela with Crowley Fleck representing Enbridge Pipelines.
Sarah Plutz with Enbridge Environment.
Okay, well, thank you all very much. We're also joined by some other folks in the room. With that, Brian, did you want to start out?
Yep, thank you, Commissioners. We have two items that are part of this informal hearing today, two requests that have been filed. One is the what we call the additional workspace request at the White Earth Valley, and the other is the Stanley Station deviation request. And we've already pre-filed affidavits of Mr. Barry Simonson and pre-filed some proposed orders. So I guess I would just have Mr. Simonson, I guess we would propose to handle the tree shrub specification one first.
Sure.
And just a short statement he'd like to read and then be available for questions. That's okay?
Perfect.
Okay, thank you. My name is Barry Simonson. I'm the manager of engineering and construction for Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota, LLC. My duties include the management of engineering and construction of what is known as the Beaver Lodge Loop Project, identified in North Dakota Public Service Commission, case number PU-10-613. I have over 10 years of experience in the pipeline engineering and construction management. As a result, I'm very familiar with the need for sufficient workspace to safely and efficiently install transmission pipelines. In this case, the North Dakota Public Service Commission's order provides in part that Enbridge agrees to comply with the tree and shrub mitigation specifications as attached thereto. That said, tree and shrub mitigation specifications provide in part that, quote, the width of clear cuts through windbreaks, shelter belts, and all other wooded areas shall be limited to 50 feet or less, unless otherwise approved by the commission, unquote. Track numbers BB-82-18, BB-82-19-1, BB-82-20-3, and BB-22-21-1 are heavily wooded. In addition, certain topographical characteristics of these tracks will make normal construction through the approved corridor substantially more difficult and inherently pose real safety concerns. Enbridge requests an increase in clearing of trees and or shrubs from a width of 50 feet to 125 feet. The increased clearing will be restricted to a length of approximately 200 feet on track BB-82-18, approximately 200 feet on track BB-82-19-1, and a combined 1,500 feet on tracks BB-82-20-3 and BB-82-21-1. The latter two tracks involve a very steep embankment and ravine just west of the White Earth River. A wider construction corridor is often necessary in areas of steep slopes. All tracks likely have unstable ground conditions due to these significant slopes. Furthermore, due to the unknown nature of the soil's makeup and stability at the time of construction, extra safety precautions are necessary and warranted. Depending upon field and drainage conditions, the prefabricated section of pipe may have to be welded together at the top of the incline or on level ground. This pipe will then need to be transported as a continuous section down the incline with several pieces of heavy equipment. As a result, this operation requires additional workspace and a more level working platform. The level working platform is also necessary to accommodate the safe travel and operation of equipment involved with the installation of the pipeline. Promote the general safety of workers on foot or working outside of equipment within the corridor during construction, and the safe and orderly storage of pipe and materials required during construction. After completion of all construction activities, soil will be placed back to pre-construction condition and slopes will be stabilized using erosion control devices. Safety is Enbridge's number one priority. Constrained work areas can increase the potential for motor vehicle and equipment accidents, and it also increases the potential for serious injury. Level and unobstructed work areas reduce the likelihood of equipment rollover issues while increasing the ability of field personnel to safely work among heavy equipment. By increasing the workspace area in these areas, Enbridge will be able to create a safe working environment and avoid unstable conditions. Pursuant to the Commission's tree and shrub mitigation specifications, tree replacement shall be on a 2-to-1 basis with 2-year-old saplings, and shrub replacement will be on a 2-to-1 basis with stem cuttings. Enbridge will implement the tree and shrub mitigation plan as outlined in the specifications. Pipeline construction activities such as surveying are underway for this project as of June 18, 2012. And actual pipeline construction, including right-of-way clearing, trenching, installation of the pipeline, is scheduled to commence as soon as July 16th of 2012. Enbridge respectfully requests approval of its request for additional workspace of up to 125 feet. Thank you.
Okay. Did staff, Mark, Pat have any questions?
I don't.
Did you have anybody else that was going to speak on this?
No.
Okay.
Sarah's here, environmental, if sure. You have any questions in that regard, but no.
Then, and paragraph 14 of your affidavit, you indicate that you'll be doing the inventory?
Yes, I believe the inventory is being conducted as we speak.
That's correct.
Okay. And then you have a plan that's already been filed with the commission for tree and shrub mitigation. Would you be doing a revision to the plan for the additional inventory?
We would likely do a revision to the plan. We do have a sampling plan that was also submitted to the PSC back in July of 2011 for more heavily wooded areas that we might have to extrapolate data on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I recall that now you said.
Yeah, so that would be for the sampling methods for the plan, and then the tree and shrub mitigation for replacement would be updated with the additional information.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Remind me, is this mostly private land or is this all?
This is private land.
This is all private land. So with regard to the replacement, tree and shrub replacement, the landowners have some preference as to where you would put it? I would think that just as safety is a major concern in construction, and of course it is, and I understand that maintenance might have some of the same issues, while hopefully you never have to go in. And, but so would you look to replace the trees somewhere else other than right back into the corridor?
I think I'd have to review the easement language that was sure. that we have an agreement on, but I believe we'd want to put the trees back where they, for pre-construction conditions, if you will, but obviously we'd take accommodation to a landowner if there was a request for trees being planted in other locations, I guess.
We do have a waiver process in place. If a landowner has decided not to have trees or shrubs replanted back on their property, they do sign a waiver with us, and then we would look at other appropriate locations for those.
Sure. Okay. I frankly think our tree and shrub mitigation plan is a little archaic myself. I think it's a bit imposing on landowners, to be honest with you. I mean, if a landowner wants his trees removed and doesn't want them put back in, I don't know who we are to tell you have to do it. But nonetheless, it is what it is. So I appreciate you accommodating it. But I would say, though, just as a sort of a bit of an opinion, is that if or maybe even look for opportunities to replace those trees somewhere else, just because, again, those slopes in heavily wooded areas, should you ever have to go back in and maintain that line someplace, you have the same exact issues again, and you might have to, you know, cut them all down again. I've been on these construction sites, and we don't have that many that are heavily wooded. Obviously, the one that I have the most experience with is the original Keystone Pipeline that went through both the Cheyenne Forest in southern North Dakota and went through the Pembina Gorge. And, they tried to do what you're avoiding in many cases, and it looked dangerous just to see it, to see this equipment in this narrow, you know, workspace and these steep slopes going down to streams and rivers, and it was, in my mind, it was a bit eerie, frankly, so I appreciate your willingness to sort of come and ask for this accommodation, because people still do matter more than trees, and, you know, around here, so we like safety.
Well, I like your point, too, Kevin, about, you know, going back after the fact, and there might be some maintenance needs to be done, because they had problems in that eastern part of the state with, just as the pipeline was built, the runoff and erosion and all that. I mean, this might happen in the same area because it's pretty steep, so that would make sense. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have
anything else than that. To
if acceptable, then we'd go over to Stanley.
Sure.
That's good. Not a question. I just wanted to
defend the tree and shrub mitigation.
Yeah. No. The notice on this particular application isn't up until the 28th.
Okay.
So this.
All right. So we're having the informal. Should somebody request a formal before the 28th, we still would have to address that. But if not, we could act. Okay.
That means we couldn't vote on it on the 27th.
Correct. Right.
If I'm correct, I think that pertains to Stanley, right? The tree shrub, I think, notice, isn't that time?
Oh, it's one or the other.
One is up.
Yeah, one
this
is up
one, I think,
one
was up today.
I think one is up today. I think that's a tree shrub.
Okay.
I believe, and then Stanley is.
All right.
Yeah, this one right. Says June 20th, 1:45, so.
For the informal.
Yeah.
But the
comment period
is?
Yep. June 28th, you are correct.
June 28th.
For this one, actually, is the 28th. PU 10613, it says, comments by June 28th on our order.
Yep, you're right. I'm sorry. So next we'll talk about Stanley and Mr. Simonson has a statement.
Okay, thank you. Again, my name is Barry Simonson. I'm the manager of engineering and construction for Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota, LLC. My duties include the management of construction and engineering for what is known as the Beaver Lodge Loop Project, as identified in North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-10-613. On May 18, 2011, the Public Service Commission issued its order allowing for construction of the Beaver Lodge Loop Project located in Williams, Montreal, and Ward counties in North Dakota. This project consists of approximately 56 miles of 16-inch diameter pipeline and additional pump station facilities and tankage at Enbridge's existing Beaver Lodge, Stanley, and Berthold stations. The order provides, in part, that construction along 61st Street Northwest between State Highway 8 and 82nd Avenue Northwest will not begin until Enbridge has submitted an application for a route deviation in this area, with sufficient material showing that any modification of the corridor meets the requirements of the North Dakota Energy Conversion and Transmission Facility Siting Act, and has received approval from the commission to proceed. Construction was not permitted in the referenced area in order to give Enbridge time to meet with representatives of Montreal County, City of Stanley, Idaho Township, and Farmers Union Oil of Stanley regarding concerns expressed either at the public hearing held on January 20th, 2011, or by contact with commission staff. Following the public hearing, Enbridge has met and conferred with representatives of Idaho Township, City of Stanley, Montreal County, and Farmers Union Oil. As demonstrated in the application materials, Montreal County has agreed that Enbridge may construct a pipeline in the proposed route deviation. In addition, Montreal County has signed a waiver giving Enbridge permission to construct the pipeline within 500 feet of the Montreal County Fair Building, which was recently built south of 61st Street Northwest. As a result, Montreal County has accepted the proposed route deviation. With respect to Farmers Union Oil, the pipeline no longer traverses the property by virtue of the move to the south side of 61st Street Northwest. With respect to Idaho Township, the township chairman sent a letter to this commission on May 6, 2011, stating that the township no longer opposes Enbridge's pipeline route as it has been moved to the south side of 61st Street Northwest.
With respect to the city of Stanley, the city has granted easements to Enbridge, thus indicating that it's indicating its approval of the route deviation. In addition, Enbridge has obtained and filed with the commission written waivers from the following businesses located within 500 feet of the proposed pipeline: Bro Brothers, CAH LLP, Stanley, and Stanley Property Partners. We believe that Enbridge has demonstrated compliance with the requirements of said order, and Enbridge respectfully requests that its route deviation request be approved in order that it may proceed with construction. Thank you.
That was pretty quick. Okay. Same questions. Mark, Pat?
I don't have any questions.
No questions.
Okay, I have some. The fair building that's been built, just so I understand, I just might not have heard you quite right. This deviation moves it further away than the 500 feet that was required, or you received a waiver? Which?
We received a waiver.
Okay, so it's still within 500 feet of the newly built fair building?
Correct.
Okay, and then the other waivers from businesses. Here's what I have to struggle with a little bit is, I mean, the point of the 500 feet, wherever people are likely to aggregate or congregate, while the local community, in this case, I don't know if it was the city or the county, I guess, offers a waiver, I'm still, you know, compelled to protect people, and wherever people might aggregate or congregate. So, you know, I don't know how often there's a congregation of people in that particular building. I don't know if how often matters, quite honestly, as I look at our attorneys, just to be sure that it's one thing for a private business or a homeowner to issue a waiver. It's quite another for a county commission to offer a waiver on behalf of whoever, whatever group might be aggregated in that particular facility. So I'm going to need to work through that a little bit and sort of reconcile that, my responsibility to the safety of the same citizens that the county commission has, safety responsibility for.
Mm-hmm. If I might, Commissioner, mm-hmm. Barry could speak to the additional safety parameters that have been agreed to with all these entities.
That would be good. I guess that was probably offered, but that would be helpful. In other words, what have you done differently in this more congested area or populated area that you wouldn't be doing perhaps out in the middle of the
sure.
prairie?
What we've done is we've increased the wall thickness. So the normal mainline wall thickness of our pipe is X.
Could you say where you started that increased thickness at? Because I'm looking at the map. I mean, do you have a point where you would have started that increased thickness when referring back to the, you know, a mile west of the building, or just to get a reference point?
I believe I'd have to look specifically on our alignment sheets, but I believe we're putting that wall thickness for about 2 miles in addition to this deviation, so a total of 2 miles. So anywhere we're traversing on that south side of 61st before we deviate into our normal or our approved route.
Okay.
So we're using a heavier wall thickness through that area. We're actually installing the pipe at 72 inches of depth of cover as opposed to the 48 inches. And that was done in conjunction with the city of Stanley, with their planning for the infrastructure that they're planning to put in, and their engineering firm, I think Bros Engineering. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with them in order to put the pipe at a depth that obviously is safe and at a higher wall thickness. So,
okay. Any extra shutoff valves in that area that normally would be installed?
Well, the nearest shutoff valve would be at Stanley Station, so that's fairly close, really close.
Okay.
The Stanley Station, though, of course, is downstream, right, from most of this?
Right.
Is that the right way to put it?
Okay. That would be correct, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So where's the next valve upstream, then?
White Earth River on the east side.
It's quite a testimony when we know every inch of all this. We've been doing this a while. I've been to Stanley so many times, I feel like I should live there. But anyway, okay.
If you can find a house.
Yeah, if I could. I know a couple of houses. They're really expensive. And anyway, okay.
But your point, though, Kevin, about, you know, is there a different alternative than what you've proposed right here that you looked at? Because it looks like there's not – you don't have much space to work with as a point.
The thread of the needle.
We do have enough space, and we've done constructability reviews with our construction manager, myself, our engineers, and we've found that it's viable for us to put the pipeline where it's at the depth of cover, obviously noting all the constrained areas with other existing pipelines that are in that corridor,
sure.
Correct? So we've done our due diligence in that regard,
okay.
In my opinion.
Nothing else, Pat, you can think of? We've so thoroughly heard this case. And of course, this is a result of some of that.
Questions.
Realizing that you probably were forced to thread a needle to some degree and still remain somewhat reasonably on track with regard to this. The station, the proximity of all this to the station is kind of drives certain distance from the community, obviously. So anyway, and the station's been there for some time.
This is just kind of off the point here, but I think maybe a little bit accurate, that once this, let's suppose this gets built exactly where, I mean, when in conversation with the city, so they don't build buildings even closer to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that lay out in your discussion with the city and the county? Because oftentimes we'll see a power line that's built in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you got buildings that are right up next to it because it wouldn't have been sited that way, but
right.
People build there.
Right.
Do you have any discussion with the city where they're going to try to make sure that in this growth area that they're not going to be building buildings even closer to this?
Well, I think in terms of...
And there's nothing that we can control in that,
right,
I understand that.
There isn't, but I think we've had a good dialogue between our Enbridge construction group as well as our EPND operations group with the city of Stanley, and being that we know they're going to put their infrastructure in, I'm saying infrastructure being the sewer and water and all those extensions, in the near future, that we provide them with an accurate as-built. And in terms of the legalness of how close they can build to the pipelines, I can't speak to that, but I know there's a good dialogue between the entities.
Okay.
So we'll provide them with an as-built and obviously work with them to accommodate anything that needs to happen for infrastructure build in the future.
Fair enough. What do you got, Pat?
Comment. Is there anything that Commissioner Kramer feels should be added to the record concerning the additional safety provisions?
I think it would be helpful. And maybe his testimony today might be enough, I guess. The 72-inch, I don't know if that was part of the supplemental or not, the 72-inch cover, the thicker pipeline. I think it might have been.
It was, yes.
Yeah. If not, we certainly have it. Which reminds me, of course, Council, that I assume you're offering all of this as evidence in the record. So, but whether it's, I guess my question is, Pat's question is right on. If it's not part of the supplemental, it's now been testified to, and is that adequate? It seems to me it would be, but
maybe we put it in appropriate.
We can
spot
certainly
in the
put
order.
It. We can put it in the order that it
You'll
was
call
testified to.
Yeah, we'll do.
Or are you looking for something more, Pat? I guess you.
No. How far is it to the White Earth Station, or to the White Earth Valve that you were talking about?
Probably, don't quote me on an accurate number here, but we're close to about 13 miles. Stanley Ross, yeah, it's about.
There's a lot of oil between.
And you've got, if you look at the topography, the topography actually doesn't go like this into Stanley; it kind of goes like this. So that's a difference too.
What is the pressure in the line there?
Once it's in service, the pressure, I believe, once operations gets it up, will be around, the MOP is 1260, I believe. I'm sorry, 1480, my fault. But I don't think it's going to operate at that pressure. It all depends upon what operations and the shippers need for the oil to flow through the pipeline. So I'd say high level, between 900 and 1,200 pounds of pressure, approximately.
So,
are you feeling like you'd like to have a valve closer to town?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Suggesting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we have, too, is that I'd like to point out that the city, the Enbridge at Stanley Station is going to have and has every day 8 to 10 employees there, as well as equipment that's in the area that can deploy as needed if there is an emergency.
How quickly?
And in the future, there'll be more individuals there, obviously with the infrastructure that's being built and it's needed and warranted. So,
if there was a leak, that would affect this city. How quickly could you, Enbridge, respond to that and shut it down?
Well, I think the in terms of shutting it down, all the valves are going to be remotely controlled. Mm-hmm. So White Earth River, Stanley, it should be instantaneous in terms of shutting it down. And then you've got the human capability, obviously, with Enbridge operations there to obviously appropriately mitigate the spill if there was or a leak. So I'd say, I can't give you a time frame, but as soon as possible.
So I mean,
being that I'm not in operations, I can't answer the question directly.
But you'd have all that pressure that would have to that would be relieved for that 13 miles would have to be relieved, and it wouldn't stop until somebody plugged the leak.
It's kind of like a river crossing. The same discussion. You put one and shut off on both sides of the river. Is there something in the guidelines that would require that? Is it something that you'd be opposed to?
Currently, I don't think we'd be able to do that. And I say that in terms of material capability. You know, we've planned based on our filing for the valves. We have Beaver Lodge, we have White Earth River upstream, we have downstream White Earth River, then we have Stanley, and then we have downstream of the, I forget the river just east of Stanley. So, Based on the engineering side of it, as well as the DOT Part 195 requirements, as well as our internal Enbridge standards, I'd say we wouldn't likely install a valve in between, say, the White Earth River and Stanley Station, preferably.
Okay, but if we could maybe clarify more and put it in the order of the extra the depth it's going to be for the range of that, the extra thickness in that range is going to be there. And I guess we could talk about what we'd want to do on that.
Barry, is it an accurate statement to say that an incident is far more likely to happen at the station than it is on the pipe itself once it's installed?
If you have the more people you have working in an area where you have excavations on a normal basis, you have a higher likelihood of something.
Strike or something, a third party.
Right. Issue. I mean, that's just, yeah.
Okay. Matt, do you have anything else?
Nope, nothing else.
Commissioner Kramer?
I'm good, thanks.
Nothing further, Your Honor. We would just like to offer the testimony of Barry and Sarah into the record.
All right. Very good.
Okay, well, with that, unless someone has anything else, we'll close the informal on case number PU10613. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now we can go right into the other one, can't we?
You can. I'll be right back.
Okay. Thanks, guys.